One of the themes that Howard Zinn tried to address during his long career was the lack of historical memory. The facts of history are scrupulously ignored distorted. And I was wondering if you could comment on imperialism then and now, interventions then and now. And I'm thinking specifically about Saigon in 1963 and 64, and Kabul today, and the kinds of similarities with the U.S. being tremendously dissatisfied with their clients, with reports of drug corruption, in fact, a brother in each case being corrupt, all kinds of problems. And no two historical situations are analogous, but what do you see there that is of value in reporting?
Well, what would be of value in reporting is and remembering is what was happening in the early 60s, which is gone from history. It was barely discussed at the time, and it's essentially disappeared. I mean, in 1954, there was a peace settlement. The U.S. regarded it as a disaster and refused to permit it to go forward, established a client state in the South, which was a typical client state, torture, brutality, murders. By about 1960, that probably killed 70 or 80,000 people. The repression was so harsh that it stimulated an internal rebellion, which the North Vietnamese did not want. They wanted some time free to develop their own society. But they were sort of coerced by the Southern resistance into at least giving it verbal support. By the time Kennedy came in 1961, it was out of control. So Kennedy simply invaded the country. In 1962, Kennedy sent the U.S. Air Force to start bombing South Vietnam, planes with South Vietnamese markings, but nobody was fooled. It was actually reported. There was a sentence in a back page of the New York Times, which I remember reading, saying that the U.S. Planes and pilots are carrying out a third of the bombing missions in South Vietnam with South Vietnamese markings. Kennedy authorized napalm. He authorized chemical warfare to destroy ground cover and crops, started processes of driving the rural population into what were called strategic hamlets, that essentially concentration camps, where they were surrounded by barbed wire to protect them from the guerrillas, which the government, U.S. government knew perfectly well they were supporting. That's the beginning of a process which ultimately drove millions of people out of the countryside while destroying the countryside. They also began the operations against North Vietnam on a small scale. That was 1962. Nothing noticed. In 1963, the Kennedy administration got wind of the fact that the government they had installed, the Diem government, was trying to arrange negotiations with the North. That was Diem's terrible brother, who they hated. He's awful, and his wife was awful. They were trying to negotiate some kind of a peace settlement. So the Kennedy liberals determined that they had to be thrown out. And they organized a coup, in fact, in which the two brothers were killed and put in their own guy, meanwhile, escalated the war. Then came the Kennedy assassination. To the contrary to a lot of mythology, to the very last minute, Kennedy was one of the hawks in the administration. He did agree to the proposals for withdrawal because he knew the war was very unpopular here, but always with a condition: a withdrawal after victory. Once we get victory, then we can withdraw and let the client regime go. And then comes what you were describing. Drugs, corruption. Sure, that's what happens when you put in a client regime. They're not going to be the nice guys. In fact, the Kennedy administration people were complaining, the people on the ground and so on, that the Viet Cong, look at, you know, what we call the Viet Cong, it's supposed to be a contemptuous term, the National Liberation Front. He said, they're 10 feet tall. We can't believe they're the same species as the people we're supporting. That's what liberation, the Vietnamese happen to be unusual, but even so, that's what liberation forces are like. So yes, that is what happened. That's what typically happens with a client state. Actually, when you talk about American imperialism, you have to be, it's an interesting term. I mean, the country was founded as an empire. George Washington called it an infant empire. Thomas Jefferson, the most libertarian of the founding fathers, for him it was the colonies were to be the nest from which the entire hemisphere would be peopled, eliminating black and red, you know, getting rid of the native population somehow, drive them off to the west, get rid of the blacks once we're done, we don't need slavery anymore, we'll send them back to Africa, and get rid of the Latins. So conquer the rest of the hemisphere because they're an inferior race. We're the superior race of Anglo-Saxons. It's only to the benefit of everyone if we people the entire hemisphere. Now, that's not called imperialism, but that's because of what some historians of imperialism call the salt water fallacy. It's only imperialism if you cross salt water. So, for example, if the Mississippi had been as wide as the Irish Sea, let's say, okay, then would have been imperialism. But it was understood to be imperialism right away. And it is. It's the worst kind. Settler colonialism, which is what it was, is by far the worst kind of imperialism because it gets rid of the native population. Other kinds exploit them, but this eliminates them, exterminates them, to use the words of the founding fathers.